preach on. And there's no third Timothy, so I need to find somewhere else to go. Although someone told me Titus. I guess it's the same area. All right, so 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy, this part is the last words that Paul will say to his friends and colleagues. This is the end. He knows his death is imminent at this point, and these are the last words that he'll say. This makes me sad. I think about what would be my last words to the people that I've ministered with and people that have ministered to me. What would I say to them? This is what we're going to find out. This is the last thing that Paul will say. And many of these friends he'll write to in this part have been friends with him for years. And they've been through persecution with him. And they've been through revivals and great things happening. And they've helped him plant churches. They were with him all along. And so this is his last chance to say goodbye to his brothers and sisters. And this shows kind of what's on the inside. You know, Paul is a real person, right? If you cut him, he would bleed. And he's just like you and I would be. So this is specifically to his son of the faith, Timothy. And he wants to remind him what's important. And, you know, ministry for Paul wasn't just the big sermon, the big missionary journey. Maybe he had councils where he met with other apostles and they talked about important matters. All those things are important, but that wasn't it. And in our day, sometimes I think we think that ministry can be building buildings, enrollments, concerts, services, special programs. We think it's all those things. And all those things are important. But really, ministry is about people, isn't it? And all the things that we do need to be ministering to people. And as we do all these big events and have all these special activities, we need to think about how is this affecting the people around us? Are we helping them? You know, people take your time and energy. Have you noticed this? Yeah, people do take our time and energy. You know, some people, you hang out with them, and they're just so encouraging. Some people, you hang out with them, and it's like, oh. It's like you hear all their problems, and before you're done, you're like, wow, I need a break from listening to you talk more. You're wearing me out. And I'm not alone. Jesus needed breaks, too, sometimes, didn't he? There was times when he ministered. There was times when he got alone so he could be refreshed spiritually. But Christ-centered relationships, this is what we build our ministry around. When Christ is above us and Christ is in our relationships, and we have the gospel, we know that we're sinners. We've broken God's law. We know there's judgment for sin. We know there's a holy God. We know that Christ came and died for our sins, that we could accept his free gift by faith, not by our own works. None of us are good enough. By putting our dependence on Jesus Christ, we can have new life. But it's important that we not lose our priorities. And people will be a sacrifice, but people are worth it. And those lives will take with us to eternity. Now, some of you are more people-oriented than others, and I acknowledge that as well. But I want to, if I could summarize my lesson today, or message, I would say ministry requires we deal with people. We're always going to have to deal with people if we're going to minister. Now, some of you are more outgoing, some are less outgoing, but we all have that sphere of people around us that we have influence, and that influence us. And it's important that we represent Christ to them and we help them. So ministry requires we deal with people. And so he's going to lay out in this passage three truths that you learn as you minister to people. Three truths you learn as you minister to people. The first one is found in verse 9. He says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." I want you to notice number one, we are impacted by our friends. We are impacted by our friends. Paul begs Timothy to come. Now, he knows his life is short. He mentions being somewhat lonely. But, you know, God made us social beings, didn't he? And that's why we have families and churches, brothers and sisters. We have neighbors. God made all of those things because we need that help and accountability of people around us. We need that encouragement. And it's sad when someone becomes bitter. Maybe they push away from people around them, and what happens? They're going to become dry and empty as people. So my parents are missionaries, and I was a teenager when they first went to Hungary, and I went with them, and it was good. The only problem was I didn't speak Hungarian. And so when I went to the churches, I wasn't getting much out of the services, I'll just be honest. Probably nothing, actually. A few people knew a couple words, but I'll tell you, spiritually, I felt like I just dried up because I didn't have that Christian fellowship that I so desperately needed. So we are impacted by our friends. I want you to notice in verse 10, he said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." Letter A, some friends will choose an evil path. Some friends will choose an evil path. You know, here Demas is, maybe he started out being involved in the church. Maybe he's someone that people were looking up to. And the day came when he chose to follow the world and what it had to offer. He was tired of making sacrifices and thinking of eternity. And so sometimes people will pick a different direction. And by natural path and choices, they're going to leave you. And that's going to have an impact on you. I want you to think of Demas as a deserter. Demas is a deserter. How many of you are awake today? I got a question for you. Okay, that's good. For those that are watching online, everyone is very awake and into the message. Okay, what is Demas? Demas is a
deserter.
Okay, that was something. Let's try again. Demas was a
deserter.
Okay, Demas is a deserter. Thank you for being awake. Demas wants to live for the world, and he will leave Paul. As we follow Christ, there'll be people that we won't have fellowship with because they will leave. And it's sad. Now, I don't want to push people away. If I've done something to hurt someone, I want to correct that. But just as I follow Christ and people rejected him, as I follow Christ, they will also reject me. So I don't look for conflict, but I recognize that sometimes people will leave, and I have no control over that. I want you to notice next, in verse 10 and 12, he says, "Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia," verse 12, "Antichicus have I sent to Ephesus." Letter B, some friends are led from you. I don't like when people move. You guys like when a friend moves? Maybe someone that you used to hang out with, and maybe you had a time when you hung out with them or talked to them. You went to get that coffee and they weren't there, and you're like, oh, I miss that Christian brother or sister. And you know, sometimes the Lord takes people away from us. Sometimes they pass on into glory, and they're not there that way. And that's sad. And we've had a few people that have passed away this year from our church, and it's sad not to see their encouraging faces and their warm greeting. This is a sad thing. But we know the Lord has a plan for each person. And I can't just hang on to people. I wish I could. Just hang on to people and say, never leave me. Such a sad thing. But I know the Lord has something for them, and so we have to wish them well. And the Lord has a bigger plan for their lives. So here Paul is, and he's talking about all his friends that are leaving. And Demas, he's a deserter. He's gone. But some of these other people, the Lord's leading them on to different ministries. And so Paul has to say goodbye to them. Sometimes we have to say goodbye to people around us. I want you to notice the third. He says in verse 11, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Letter C, good friends are there when we need them most. Good friends are there when we need them most. So this person named Luke is with Paul, and he sends for Mark. And this is actually a very, very big deal. So if we look at the history of Mark, in Acts 13, Mark was accompanying Paul on a missionary journey, gets discouraged, gives up, and abandons Paul. And Paul, that kind of doesn't sit well with him, and he gets very upset with Mark. And then later, in Acts 15, Barnabas is ministering with Paul, and Silas is with him, and Mark is with them. And so Barnabas has this idea. Let's go on this missionary, let's go on this mission trip, and let's bring Mark with us. And Paul says, oh, no, I know what Mark's all about. He's a quitter. I want no parts of Mark. And so Paul has a strong disagreement with Barnabas. By the way, sometimes you can disagree with your friends. That shouldn't end your friendship because they'll get back together again, okay? We can have disagreements with friends. But as far as Paul is concerned, Mark is not worth it, okay? He is done with Mark. Now, the word Barnabas means encourager, and Barnabas is just that. And so Paul will take Silas and go one direction in Acts 15, and Barnabas will take Mark and minister to him and be his encouragement and believe in him and help him and encourage him. And boy, Mark needs an encourager, doesn't he? And by the way, have you ever been in a place where you made a mistake or you didn't know what to do and somebody older, maybe a more mature Christian, prayed for you and loved you and encouraged you? Has that ever happened to you? Isn't that a wonderful thing? And what an encouragement that is when someone doesn't, we don't give up on our brothers and sisters, but we encourage them and we believe in them, right? We think the Lord can really work through this person. And so Barnabas will work in be a blessing to Mark. And this is really a big deal to Mark. And so later on, Paul sees how Mark has matured. And Mark is a different person. And Paul says, get me Mark. That's the person who can help me. This is the person that is grown. So Mark has matured. Okay, I'm going to test your awakeness again. What has Mark done? Mark has
matured.
That was great. Thank you. Well done. That was very impressive. Yes, so Mark has matured. You know, it's easy to give up on people that are immature spiritually, right? Someone that you can't count on. Oh, not that person again. They keep blowing it. Oh, I'm done with them. It's easy, right, in the flesh to be like, I'm just cutting them off and I'm going to be done. It'll make my life easier. But yet the Lord has a work to do, doesn't he? And sometimes we want to cut off people, but the Lord hasn't cut them off. The Lord's not done with them. Okay, so we need to keep encouraging them. And, you know, the day will come. Some won't get it, but some will get it, right? And what a wonderful blessing that is. All right, so he's going to ask that they send help. Paul will ask for help. And we need help, don't we? But sometimes we're too proud to ask for that help, aren't we? We think, I got this. I don't need any other friends. I can do this. I've got this. And, you know, we rob people of the blessing of being a help to us. And sometimes we're in a corner and we just need to say, help me. I think about what Paul wrote in Galatians 5. He says that everyone should carry their own burden. Carry your own burden. Don't be needy. Don't be like, can you help me now? Can you help me now? There's a sense in which we're responsible for ourselves. And then in Galatians 6:2, he also writes, we should carry others' burdens. Come on, Paul, which is it? Are we supposed to carry our own burdens? Are we supposed to carry other burdens? I mean, confusing, right? Well, actually, the word, since we don't speak Greek, it doesn't make as much sense in English. But the word burden for 6:5, the one that you're supposed to carry for yourself, this is a soldier's pack. And it's the idea of this is your individual responsibilities. I don't get other people to do my job for me. I do my own job. But the carry one other burden word in 6:2 is the idea of something that's large and overwhelming. So sometimes the Lord gives us large and overwhelming burdens. And we need other Christian brothers and sisters to help us with those big burdens. They're not doing every little thing for us. You know, we need to handle our own business, our own problems. But sometimes the Lord brings greater burdens into our lives. And so as Paul has this larger burden, he's going to ask for help. And we need to ask for help too. I think sometimes we're too proud. You know, I think going for counseling for some people is like, if you admit that you need counseling, it's like admitting that you have leprosy for some people. And it's we all need Christian encouragement. We all need strengthening. We all need wisdom, okay? Every Christian here, at some point, I hope that you get input and help, right, in your spiritual walk. And so Paul realizes he's lonely, he's in prison, and he needs help, and he needs Mark. All right, letter D. As found in verse 13, it says, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee in the book, but especially the parchment. Letter D, friends can help you with material needs. Friends can help you with material needs. Paul asked for his coat. Do you know what the deeply spiritual reason why he asked for his coat was? If I had to guess. I'm going to say he's cold. I'm guessing they don't have climate control where he was located in Rome at that time. All right, he's cold. You know, we need physical help with things, don't we? That's okay. It's okay to need physical help. And, you know, he wants to minister, but right now he's cold, and that's where his need is. And, you know, right now with the virus going around, we need to be sensitive to others who might be in need or can't do the things that they normally do. And I appreciate those who are still involved in our church. But maybe for whatever reason, they can't be here.
Maybe health or whatever else.
But physical needs can limit the way we minister. And we have to think about others, how we can help them with physical, everyday needs. So he asked for his coat. He also asked for the books and the parchments. Now, parchment was often the type of paper that the Old Testament was printed on. So here he is in prison. And Paul's not done learning, is he? He's studying for his final exam. He's got one last test, and he wants to make sure he knows the Bible well. So he uses his time wisely in the prison even. And so he'll have friends that will bring him the things that he needs. You know, it's not unspiritual to have physical needs. And I think it can be a greatly spiritual thing to help someone with physical needs, can it? Sometimes we forget that a lot of needs that we have are just everyday things, right? I think about Paul healing, Paul too. But Jesus, how he heals people in need, and he helps them, the physical need, but also the spiritual, this greater spiritual need. He does both, okay? And we need both things, and sometimes we forget about the everyday physical needs. This reminds me of a story. So as missionaries, we used to travel to a lot of the same conferences with other missionaries. They have different missions conferences. And so we got to know a lot of the same crowd of people. And I'm still friends with some of these people to this day that I knew back when I was a teenager. But we like to share missionary horror stories with each other. And this is one of my favorites. So enjoy here. So this church we heard about, they decided that they were going to support a missionary for $5 a month. And when they sent the missionary the support, they also said, "We ask that you give us an account of how you spent that $5 to advance God's kingdom every month." So the first month comes and they send their $5 check to the missionary, and they ask that they give a full account of how they spent that $5. And so the missionary writes back, "Well, where I am in Africa, we don't have a lot of water, so I used that $5 to buy a bucket and we're digging a well." And then the church wrote back to him, "You should have bought tracts." And they dropped his $5 of support, sadly. We just laugh at this, right? It's $5, right? Of course. The missionaries need water, right? I think we could all agree on that. So, I mean, there is a physical element that we need help and encouragement from each other, and we should recognize that it's not unspiritual to help somebody with small things. And so Paul needs help with these everyday tasks. All right. That was a long first point, but now we'll move on to point number two. The second truth we learn about dealing with people is that friends won't always support you the way that they should. Sadly, friends don't always support us the way that we should. It's okay. I don't need to protect myself from imperfect people, right? That's part of the process. At times, you'll be encouraged. At times, people will do and say things that are going to hurt you. And you can't take it personally. Move on. Get over it. It's okay, but it is hurtful, and I don't want to be that person that hurts somebody else. I would say that. Verse 14 and 15, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. So he trusted Alexander. Maybe he went to the church there. The Lord reward him according to his works. Verse 15, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. So Alexander the coppersmith knew better. Letter A, some friends will betray you. Some friends will betray you. So here Alexander the coppersmith is, and he's very hurtful of the Apostle Paul, withstands him, does damage to him. Paul's not bitter. He says the Lord will reward him. You know, there's some things that we can work out. There's some things within our purview. But there's some things that have to go into the Lord's care. And the Lord has to bring justice, right? I can't bring justice. I can't spend all my time thinking about wishing somebody harm. At some point, I give it to the Lord. I have to forgive them, not that things are right, but forgive them as in I'm not going to hang on to this anymore. I give it to the Lord. If they want to reconcile with me, they can. If they don't want to reconcile, I've given it to God. I'm not going to be bitter and upset about this. So here he is. But on the other hand, although Paul chooses to let this go and forgive him, he does warn others about him, right? Because forgiveness and trust are not the same thing. I try to forgive everyone, but do I trust everyone? Not so much, right?
Okay, so here he is. He's been hurt. He gives it to the Lord, this betrayal. And the evil that's been done, he gives it to the Lord to bring correction. You know, Christ on the cross, I think about him and the crowds that are there and his crucifixion. And what does he say? For Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't understand. They're so blinded by their own pride and their own sin that they don't even see the wicked thing that they're doing. And he has a heart of forgiveness, and this is kind of what Paul does here. He chooses to move on from this. He's going to give it to the Lord and move on. All right, verse 16. He says, At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray that it may not be laid to their challenge. Letter B. Some friends will not carry their load in ministry. Some friends will not carry their load in ministry. So Paul is standing before the government to give a defense of what he believes.
And there's other Christians. He thinks maybe they'll, you know, they should come with me and support me. And yet those people are not there for him when they need him. Okay? Sometimes we just need to be with other Christians and support them, right, through difficult times. I think about Job's friends. You know, they did awesome in chapter 1. They were doing really good when they kept their mouth shut. Just being there, I think, is something sometimes, right? We just need someone to be next to us. But then his friends weren't even that. They were not there for him. They forsook him. Now, at this time, there's intense persecution. You have Nero burning down Rome around this time. I'm guessing many Christians were very fearful of what would happen to them. You know, but Paul doesn't worry about them. And we can't be the spiritual police. We can't keep track of what everyone else does. You know, I volunteered, but so-and-so didn't volunteer. And, you know, this is not a helpful thing to do, okay? We have to be accountable to the Lord for ourselves. You know, others may not have supported this ministry, but it's right, and I came and I supported it. And whatever they do is up to them. I'm not going to stress. I'm not going to worry. It's in God's hand. And, you know, sometimes I find some Christians that keep track of everyone and who came and who didn't come and whatever the support was, who did it, who didn't. Now, the problem with that, number one, is that you don't know everything. You don't know everything that goes on in that person's life. Sometimes you make assumptions that are faulty. But the second thing is, sometimes the best thing we can do is just be an example ourselves, right? I don't need to lecture everybody. And I've heard the horror stories, you know, people that keep track of who puts their chair away after the fellowships. If someone drank a coffee and talked to somebody else, don't panic. If you're putting away chairs, keep going. If there's extra, I will come back on Monday and I will put it away myself, okay? Let's not just keep track of everyone else. Let's be examples. And so Paul sees others that should have helped him and they didn't help him. He's like, you know what? I just kept going. They should have been there. They should have spoken up for Christ. They didn't. But, you know, I'm going to keep preaching the gospel myself, whether they come or whether they don't, whether they're not there. And eventually the friends that do come will support and help him, okay? But he's not going to be sidetracked by someone else. We get down to verse 17. He says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lions. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. And he's so excited about this, he breaks into a song of praise. He says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us see. When our friends don't support us, God will still be there for us. When our friends don't support us, God will still be there for us. So Paul's co-workers abandon him in his time of need. And yet he says God was still there with him. The Lord can be with you in special ways when no one else is. In the times of your greatest need, you can sense God's presence. And I've felt this, and I don't consider myself a great Christian, but there's been times in my life where I had nowhere to turn and nowhere to go, but I could feel the Lord. It was like he was sitting in the chair next to me in a room when I was all alone. I could just sense him right there. I've been in hospital rooms. It was just me, the doctor, and Jesus were in there. I know it sounds unusual to you, perhaps, but the Lord can be there with you in special times when no one else is there. You have his grace, you can have his power and his presence. So this is Paul. He says, I was able to preach the gospel to those Gentiles, the people that needed it. I was in there and I was preaching to them, even if people didn't support me. I did it and God greatly used me. And God delivered him from lions. Is this physical lions? Is this just people oppressing him? Paul tries not to exaggerate. He goes to great lengths to be accurate. So maybe it was a physical lion, but whatever it was, the Lord delivered him in his time of need. God was there for him. And he says, God will deliver us to his heavenly kingdom. As I face life, as I go through life, and as I go into eternity, God will be with me each step of the way and will guide me. I don't fear death. Death is not something to be afraid of. The Lord is with me, and the Lord has been with me every step of my life. And when the time comes for me to pass on to eternity, now it may be a while, I'm not predicting anything here, but when that day comes, the Lord will be with me just as much then as he's with me now. And just like he's taken care of me my whole life, he will take care of me then. It will be okay. I do not worry. It reminds me of what David wrote in the Psalms. He says, when my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Even when those people around me that should be close to me are not there, God will still be there, and God will still help me. We do not need to fear. We must focus on the Lord. We have a friend in Jesus, don't we? and our friend will deliver and help us. And this makes our heart come forth in praise. All right, so we've seen a couple truths about dealing with people. Let's look at the third truth here. He said, the third truth is, at the very end of the book, he said, old friends should not be forgotten. Old friends should not be forgotten. He's going to list some of his close friends and have some specific words for them. Verse 19, he said, salute Priscilla and Aquila in the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletus sick. So he gets into some of these specific friendships that he's had and gives specific directions here. Verse 21, he says, do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. So at the end here, he's still keeping track of his friends, where they're at, what they're doing. He passed on the mantle to Timothy. Timothy's supposed to follow in his footsteps. So he's giving Timothy all the information and all the directions so that he can keep track of these people as well after Paul passes. I want you to notice in verse 19 through 21, letter A, we need to keep track of our friends. We should care about our friends. We need to be praying for them. We need to be in their lives, and we can't just neglect and forget about them. Now, all these people that he mentions in his list are people that are very significant in his ministry. Some are mentioned multiple times. Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned the most. They're mentioned, I believe, 5 times. And these are tent makers, and they travel with Paul making tents and supporting him. And they faced dangerous situations, and they remained loyal to him, and they encouraged him. And so at the end here Paul is, and he wants to remind them that he's thinking of them and that he cares for them. He mentions some that have moved. He mentions one that was sick. So these are updates for Timothy on their status, what's going on. Back then, so why would you put this in a letter? You wonder why this? Well, back then they didn't have the Marquette prayer chain like we have today. And so he had to include this in the letter, okay? Just like we would send, and if you're not on the list, make sure you sign up by the time this Sunday's over. But this is his way of praying for the different Christians in the church and kind of keeping tabs on what's going on. And so he will pass on this information. Notice again how he'll ask Timothy to visit. And he says, please hurry. Now, hurry. I think Paul knew he didn't have long to live. It was almost wintertime. Once winter hits, probably travel's impossible during this time period. And he wants to see his son of the faith one more time. Make that connection with him. And Paul, like you and I, he's lonely and sad. He needs encouragement. He needs friendship like we all do. Like our friends around us need our encouragement in the same way. We get down to the last verse here. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. And amen. Letter B, we need to encourage our friends. He wishes Timothy the grace or help from God. Paul kept his associates in his prayers. And here he is, the last words that Timothy will ever get from Paul. But he wants to encourage him in the Lord. And he wants to remind him that the Lord can help him and strengthen him. He never stops caring for his friends, even at the end. What a great thing good friends are. Christian friends, isn't it a wonderful blessing? I'm going to ask you in a second to raise your hand, but first I have a question for you. So hopefully we're all awake for this next interaction here. Okay, how many of you, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's someone at church, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe a pastor, maybe a parent, maybe a Christian brother or sister, how many of you have someone that prays for you maybe routinely or daily? Does anyone here have someone that probably prays for them? Yes, all right, amen. What a wonderful blessing that is. We need those, and we need to be those friends that pray for others, don't we? I wonder, so many times in my life when I felt lost or discouraged, and the Lord came through, and I always think it's those prayers. My parents pray for me constantly, and I want you to know, everyone in this room, let me think, I pray for all of you. I don't know if I'd pray for all you all daily, but I try to pray for all of you. And I hope that you pray for me and that we're praying for each other and encouraging each other. We need that strength. We need that encouragement. What a wonderful blessing it is. Even at the end, Paul is trying to encourage his son of the faith, Timothy, that he can carry on after he's gone. All right, I'm almost done here. A few closing thoughts. I wonder, what's your attitude towards people around you? Are you ministering to the people around you? Are you serving them? Are you helping them? Or I hope we're not using ministry by using people around us. I hope that we're ministering in a way that empowers and helps people that are around us. Are you putting others first? Are you a blessing to them? Do you love the people around you? Are you able to work with the marks? Does God bring the marks in your life, people that lack the maturity? And maybe you need to encourage them. Are you worried about those kind of people? Are you able to forgive the Demases that are deserting? I hope you don't hold a grudge against those people. I hope that you have Christ-centered relationships and that you have love in your heart for those around you, and that God can work through you to be a blessing to others. And that's what I think this is really about. Well, let's pray.